Hi, everybody. Nancy W. I'm a grateful compulsive gambler. In my home meeting, I'm known as Nancy Dubs. I will say that I do believe that the best thing that's ever happened to me is becoming a compulsive gambler, because getting an opportunity to be in recovery is absolutely the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I made my last bet on 11/30/2020. Again, Bill, thanks for those beautiful words. I really appreciate you so much. Our friendship means so much to me. What an honor to be a guest speaker in a meeting that has not only a newcomer, but two long time celebrants, 1500 days. Wow. And then 20 years, or is it 29 years? Sorry, I'm not sure which one it is, but
29.
29. Wow. Amazing. Kind of makes me sit back in my chair a little bit. So, I will do the best I can. So I came into GA, not knowing what GA was. I just in incredible pain. The pain from gambling, the pain from my gambling had gotten horrifically worse than the pain from living my life. And the country had shut down from COVID about 8 months earlier, and no live meetings anywhere. And I was fortunate enough to get into the Florida Daily meeting. Which is a meeting that happens 7 days a week. And when I first came into the meeting, there was only about 30 people in that meeting every day. And I was embraced and enveloped by people that had 20 years, 30 years, 45 years, 50 years, a group of old timers that just really held my hand and brought me along with them. And I was willing. By that time, by November 2020, I hated gambling. And I was in a situation where my partner of 25 years, my spouse per se, had moved out of the home, and all nine of my kids were no longer talking to me. And I wanted to be healthy, and I didn't even understand how unhealthy I was. And I worked hard, and I started getting healthy. And then 4 days before my 6 month milestone, my spouse Will, we'd been starting to have dinner together a couple times, a few times a week. He'd been coming home, after the meetings, and we'd be eating dinner together, and then he'd be leaving. And he came home on the my 176th day of recovery, and I wasn't sitting at the computer, and he got home a little before the meeting was ending. And Florida Daily's at 8 p.m. Eastern during the week. And he found me unconscious in our bedroom on the floor. And that started a really horrific, very long illness, which has still progressed today. They say I got bit by a mosquito, got spinal meningitis, went to my brain, got encephalitis. I was in a coma. Ended up, when I got out of the coma, thankfully, was in the hospital for quite some time after. Got home, had to learn how to talk again, read again, walk again, write again, feed myself again. And I wanted back in the meetings. I didn't remember a lot, but I remembered GA, and I wanted back in the meetings. I was in speech therapy, physical therapy, all kinds of therapies for over a year. Took me 2.5 years before I could drive again, First thing I did on my first solo drive was rear-end a brand new BMW. Because of this program, I laughed, which was a beautiful thing. Since learning to walk again, I've had tongue cancer. I've had three more spinal taps. I've had horrific bacterial infections. I just had all my teeth surgically removed, I think about 5 weeks ago, because I have a crappy immune system and I'm ill. But this program gives me so much joy. And I've learned acceptance. And I think for me, I don't think, I believe. My third year in the program, every single day, I wrote on acceptance. And one of the gentlemen that helped facilitate me getting into the program, one of the very first things he told me was that crying cleanses the soul. And for me, I've since learned that writing unchains my soul. If crying cleanses my soul, writing unchains it. And nothing in the world like writing the steps, like taking what's inside of me and putting it down on paper, sharing it with another human being, finding out who my God and my own understanding is, and then doing it again and again. And the gentleman that introduced me today, we live 1500 miles apart, formed such a beautiful friendship with him, took me under his wing. He did not let me keep my big girl pants down around my ankles, and I needed that, you know. And one of the first times I spoke with him on the phone, he told me to make three goals, and I did. And interestingly enough, the two that I thought were going to be the most simple, which was come to Delray, Florida, and go to a live meeting and go to lunch with the group from Delray Beach afterwards, and go to a GA international conference, I haven't done yet. And the third one, which I thought was going to be the most difficult, is up for an award. How strange is that? Wrote a book, took 3 years. And I don't know if it'll win, but it doesn't, I don't care if it does or not. We'll find out September 18th. This is a fruition of people in this program not giving up on me and teaching me how to live right, teaching me that I could be honest, teaching me how to do the right thing. You want me to teaching me that there was a better way than being a liar, than being a gambler, than living wrong. And my life has been interesting since, as I'm, you know, I when Dan asked me. Thanks, Kristen. When Dan asked me if I would first be a guest speaker, and we had it all set up, actually, I think it was about 6 months ago, and I got sick again, got put in the hospital. And so that's how I'm here. I actually happen to be here today because we had it set up and we had to cancel. And I'm just plodding along. I have no problem anybody knowing that I'm a recovering compulsive gambler. I don't carry any guilt anymore. I don't have any shame. I write almost daily. And interestingly enough, though, although I can accept myself for where I'm at and who I am, and I can accept others for who they are and where they're at. Will asked me the other day, he goes, "What do you want me to do?" And I said, "Nothing." Because I went on a little 2-day sabbatical out to the ranch. It's this place about an hour where we held the conferences in Kansas. Beautiful place. And I just needed to get away. And I went out there for 2 days and I got home. And Will had emptied his entire movie room into the living room, dining room, kitchen, hallway. I couldn't reach the shower. I couldn't reach the wash. And I just started laughing because what else am I supposed to do? I can't change him. He said, "What do you want me to do?" I said, "Nothing." And it frustrated him. And I said, "What? I don't want you to do anything. I don't want you to change. I don't want you to do anything. I think it's funny." And he got flustered, but what am I going to do? Nag and get it. I don't want to be angry anymore in my life. And eight of my kids aren't talking to me today. They were for a while. When I got really ill, there had been some talk about pulling a plug, and my higher power had other plans. And so it's just interesting dynamics. So my biggest challenge is that I find my courage to be wishy-washy. And it's not my courage to work the program or to pick up the phone. I used to be afraid to pick up the phone. It used to weigh 10,000 pounds. But I'll pick up the phone. I've been over that edge and in hell and clawed my way back out. I'm not afraid to be honest of who I was, who I am. I'm not afraid to go slow. I lack the courage to. It's like what Viktor Frankl said, when I can no longer change my environment, I must change myself. And I've worked on that. And it's time for me to change my environment, not out of anger or being a victim or self-pity or because anybody's angry at me anymore either. It just doesn't work. And I'm wishy-washy and I can't figure out why. And I was talking to my sponsor the other day and she said, "Well, maybe you're just frozen in fear." And I thought about it and wrote about it. And I'm thinking, I'm not sure that that's the answer. So just got to keep on going slow. Got to keep on working my program. Got to keep on driving the people crazy that I phone. And keep on being myself. I enjoy who I am now. I enjoy not being brutal, not being angry. I enjoy laughing at myself and laughing. I enjoy I'm not ashamed to say it. I have a favorite grandchild. I have six grandkids. I definitely have a favorite one, because she's just a smart as anything, and she loves me unconditionally. And I just love that. And she likes to spend time with me. And she also likes to speak to her besties of my GA sisters and brothers. And she wants to come over and call them all the time, which is kind of funny. I feel that without this program and without the meetings and the meetings I go to, and without the journey that I've been on, I wouldn't be here today. And I realize that I still have some decisions to make about my life, and not to hurt anybody else, like my kids or Will, but I have to allow them to be able to live their best life too. And I believe that, like, Will is so loyal and he wants to wrap me in bubble wrap and ground me to the couch. He actually tried to ground me to the couch last month. 'cause he worries about me, and I don't want him to be with me 'cause he's worried about me. I want him to be able to live his best life too. 'Cause I care about that now. I care about other people now. So I don't know. I don't know if that's been 20 minutes. I don't know if I can talk for 20 minutes. That's all I got. Sorry, Dan.
No worries. That's perfect. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Nancy. Really appreciate you coming in, doing the speaker meeting today. And we'll go straight to Smokey, who's got his hand up.
Hey, Smokey.
Nancy.
Hey.
Unbelievable. Yeah, my prayers are with you. I'm just shaking my head. I was trustee with Bell for 10 years, and I never knew that the pain you went through. I'll give you something about Kansas City you don't know. And then my question, 1985, the history of Kansas City is Don from Omaha. Don from Omaha had a lot to do with starting Kansas City. And there was a conference in 1985 at the airport, and I was there. You guys probably never knew that. Bill might remember. He's got all the history of everything. My question is, with tears in my eyes, and I hope everybody listens to what I got to say, is Nancy, Margaret, and Kelly, I think the world, all three. The question I have, through the trauma, and you helped me so much, because when I'm ready to knock somebody out, just walk by him. A man, not a woman. But how did you address, or how could you address, as much trauma that you had in your life? And man, we got to buy her book. Forget my book. I never wrote, but love you, dearie. I love you. Tears in my eyes.
Thanks, Smokey. I appreciate that. So, how did I address it? Well, I listened and did what I was told. That's for starters. Just kept at it. I listened when I was told that there's two types of recovery, slow and slower. And then I was a smart aleck and reached out to the person that told me that and said, "Oh, I found a third way, slowest." And then continued to bombard him with things about, "Oh, did you know that the slowest that the slowest iceberg on the planet moves 5 times faster than the fastest sloth?" And I just had to work at it. And I worked hard because I wanted to be okay. And when I first came out of the coma, I actually fell back to sleep for about 10 more days and didn't know where I was. And things had happened that I had no idea about. And I just knew that I wanted to live. I want to live before I die. And gambling every day for 20 hours a day was not living. And I hadn't been in the program long enough yet.
Thank you very much, Nancy. Thanks,
We
Smokey,
love
for
you.
the.
We love you, Nancy. We
Oh,
love
you too, Smokey.
you. And we'll go to Kristen N now, who's got her hand up.
Thank
Hey,
you,
Kristen.
Adam. Appreciate your service and Dan and Tony and the army of people that give service in this room. Kristen, I'm grateful recovering compulsive gambler. 6/8/24 is the date that I hold sacred. Nancy, I love you. I'm so grateful for you. You helped build my foundation in this program, and you've always been like a sounding board for me. Like early on, if I was distracted with kids, like the Florida Daily was my home meeting. I planted roots there, and you were a big part of that. And I just remember it's always at 6 p.m. my time. I'm in Montana, so it's like it was always crazy timing for me. I had kids, I had dinner, I had all the things. But I remember there was like a small handful of people that when they spoke, I would shut everybody up and I would like focus in. And I'm just so appreciative of all those little nuggets and that you took me under your wing and that you helped me through honestly one of the hardest times in my life. Being let go from the job and the career I'd been in for almost 2 decades was life altering. And had I not been in the program for a couple months, I had a couple months under my belt, but had I not had you specifically to call that day, I don't know. I mean, I think about that often, and I feel as though I would have probably gone out and gambled again. And because of how early I was in the program, I don't know how long it would have taken me to come back. I know I would have eventually came back, but I know that you are a huge piece of my recovery. And I'm so grateful for the retreat that you put on every year in Kansas City. That ranch has like a piece of my heart. It is such a special place. And I look forward to it every year. And, being able to meet you and Bill and Brent, everybody there, it levels up recovery. And it's like that little refresher that like, I always come home and I'm like, I gotta figure out how to get a meeting started here in Missoula. And then I remember that I'm a full-time Uber for two teenagers and I can't because I just can't. But I need to find ways to give back. And I know that you are like the inspiration for that because I see how much you give this program. I see how much service and how much like unconditional support and love you have for the people in this program. And I'm just so grateful. I don't have a question. I just wanted to say how amazing you are and how grateful I am to have you in my life. Oh, and did you see the new swag? Look at
I see
my cute little
it.
KMDI shirt.
It's nice.
Okay. I came up from the trade show floor to jump on the meeting. Thank you, Dan, for the reminder. I'm actually at a work conference right now, but I had to sneak away to come in and listen to Nancy. Thank you for sharing today, and I'm sure we'll talk soon. Okay, bye. I'll be back.
Kristen,
Thank you
thank you
so
for
much,
your,
Kristen.
yeah. Thanks for your kind words. I appreciate it. For those of you that don't know, some of you do, my granddaughter Alma, Kristen is one of her besties. And when she's around, I'm chopped liver for sure. She won't even look at me. It's Kristen this and Kristen that. Kristen and I used to cook on FaceTime together to curb your anxiety. I remember that. You're very kind. Thank you. I appreciate that.
And we'll go to Mohammed next.
Hi.
Hello, I'm a compulsive gambler. I've got a question for you. I go to meetings, I was sharing all my ideas that I thought would help people in their lives. And if it helps their lives, it'll help them in gambling as well, recover from gambling. And people start saying, you should share about the 12 steps of recovery in their shares. They go, you should just the 12 steps, that's all you should share about. And I looked at Dr. Costa's reading, this member brought in the meeting he hosted. I said, the why GA is effective is it gives personal concern, affection, and support. That when you care for someone, and you're healing the mind, body, and spirit. You're healing them. They come to meetings, and the meetings take them away from gambling. And it helps them take away from gambling. So I thought whatever helps a person recover from gambling might be a share on psychology or philosophy or religion, but not without preaching, because GA has rules. We have rules. What do you think about that? What I said? Thank you.
So that's a great question. I appreciate that question. So I can only tell you what I believe, right? I believe that at the beginning, when I came in, my head was like a pinball machine in full tilt, right? And if I had tried to do anything else but listen to the people who were trying to guide me, and if I had worked on anything else but listening to what was going on in the meetings and working on the 12 steps and believing of what I had to do, that I might not be here today. But I also believe very strongly that the steps are in the order they're in for a reason, and that we're supposed to work up them, we're supposed to write on them, and not just one time, but over and over again in our whole lifetime. And I believe that it's not supposed to be stagnant. And yes, I believe that if I stop going to meetings or if I stop working on my program, I would probably eventually get hit with something sideways and go back to gambling. But I believe that the program gives me the foundation to become a good person. And if I don't work on being that good person in the world, whatever it's through, whether it be through charity, regular kindness, being friendly to people, saying hello, cooking dinner for my next door neighbor, whatever it may be, brightening our corner of the world. I want to be a good person. I wasn't a good person before. I'm not going to bring religion into my meetings or my program, but I'm 100% spiritual and believe in that wholly. And I think the more we work our programs, the more good we're going to give back to the world. And I think it all stems from building the foundation of, because I believe that the gambling, the compulsive gambling and crossing that line was a symptom of what my real problems were, which was I didn't know how to cope with life. I didn't know how to cope with anything. I was so constantly running away from myself and didn't realize that wherever I landed, I eventually showed up. So yeah, I believe we should always strive to be better and be good people, kind people. Hope that answers the
Thanks so
question.
much. Thanks so much for that question, Mohammed. And we'll go to Jim T next.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you fine, mate.
That was quite a share that you gave, Nancy. I was very impressed, very impressed. You've been through a lot of hard times health-wise and family-wise, and to see you bounce back is just a miracle in itself. And the fact that you work such a humble, intense program in your steps and in your giving back makes it all the more special. Today I celebrate 29 years of not gambling. I have a simple program. I go to at least one meeting a week for those 29 years. I have been instrumental at various levels in GA and service. I was the pressure relief chair for quite a while. And unfortunately, 8 years ago, almost to the date, I got diagnosed with metastatic cancer, and I've been through the hellhole too, but nothing quite as bad as you, Nancy. I'm grateful I'm alive. I got to see some major milestones in my life, and my real goal right now is to celebrate my 30th year in Gamblers Anonymous. I hope I live this year to do that, and I won't gamble. I really don't believe I will. But at the same time, I don't know whether my health will hold up that long. We'll see. I think it will. And Nancy, again, thank you so much for your share. I got a lot out of it. And thank you all for being here. Bye-bye.
Jim,
Thanks
thank
so
you.
much.
Oh, I'm sorry, Adam.
That's okay.
Hey, congratulations on 29 years. What an honor to share this room with you today. I had a little bout with cancer during all that, too. They cut part of my tongue out. So, and I'm sure some people thought were bummed out that I was able to talk again. Took a while. Yeah, I absolutely am going to pray that you make it to 30 years, because it's a beautiful life. Thanks for being here. Thanks for your kind words.
And we'll go to Kelly with an I next.
Thanks, Kelly, with a not compulsive gambler. That was a wonderful share, Nancy. I just was curious if you could tell us a little bit about what brought you to GA in those last moments before you walked in the door, and how you are just thinking of, or thinking back about what you were like in action and what your life's like today.
Sure. So, I was, well, they'd shut the country down in March of 2020. And the only casinos in Kansas are on actual reservation land. But Will has a company that I had been working at, have been working at now for over 20 years, and family companies, they can be challenging. And I had never really been a big gambler. I actually never even stepped in a casino until I was like 52 years old. Never been to Vegas, never been to Atlantic City. Would run a Super Bowl pool every year with my brother. He lives in Atlanta. We used to go to the dog tracks out in Kansas. But I could not cope with emotional situations at all. And I went to the casino a few times with my mother and my younger sister. And then I started going. And I was going quite a bit in 2018 and 19, and then country shut down and they opened up. There's a casino about probably a 3-minute drive from where Will's shop is in Kansas City, Kansas. And it's right over the bridge, and it's right there on the state line of Missouri. And they opened up the casinos in August, and I just started going. I got hooked on energy drinks, and I would they were running the shop at that point 24/7, and he wasn't home a lot then anyway. Very, very busy. And I started going to the casino in the middle of the night, and then I started showing up to work late. And then I started not coming home. And eventually I was gambling 20, 22 hours a day. And not only my paychecks were gone, but all the money I had for groceries. And I was raising this Orthodox, you don't know, but I was raising this Orthodox Jewish household. And even though I don't practice to that extent, mine and Will's household was kind of like that. Like, oh, here's your allowance for groceries and the vet and the this and the that. And we had this joint checking account that, he would put money in and I would run the household on it. And it reminded me of my grandparents back in the day, but then I started spending all that money on gambling. And the free play, and I would wait for it because eventually I didn't have any money left and I was waiting on free play because I could, I was crazy. And then, of course, all the money I won. And so the Saturday, the Sunday after Thanksgiving in 2020, which was the 30th of November. I totally broke. I got home about 4 in the morning. So it was Monday morning. And I typed out this text to Will and 8 of my kids. And I hated gambling. By that point, I was screaming at myself when I would drive to the casino. What are you doing? Calling myself names. I hated it. Will had to have known that I was gambling. He had to have. I mean, it's not stupid. And I was miserable. And then I'd park the car and just go whistling my butt in there. And I tried everything and I just could not stop. And I got home about 4 in the morning and I was here by myself and I typed out a text to him and 8 of my kids. There was a reason I didn't send it to my 9th kid, which has forever pissed her off at me, but so be it. Just telling them I have a gambling problem. This is how much I've lost in such and such a time. I need help. Of course, me being the perpetual victim, I thought I'd been screaming for help this whole time, and of course I hadn't. But I had a pistol grip Mossberg shotgun, 12 gauge. It was sitting in my fireplace, and I took 2 of my dining room chairs, and I loaded it, and I was sitting there, and it 3 hours I sat there, send the text, kill myself, send it, and I had that gun in my mouth for like 2.5 of those hours. Obviously, I sent the text. Well, that sent Will and one of my sons into massive action, which I had no idea about. Of course, I was fine. I slept for an hour. I'm back to the casino at like 7 that morning. Okay, I did what I did. I'm fine. I had no idea what was going on behind the scenes. And they called our rabbi, who called Rabbi Twersky, Dr. Twersky, who called Arnie W., because he was in Israel at the time, Dr. Twersky was. Who called Arnie W., who called my son, and I was forced into GA that night and never left. It was like my very first GA meeting. It was like coming home. It was what I'd been looking for. No one was going to be able to help me but the people in GA. And then I had to help myself. But that's I best thing that ever happened to me. Best thing. That and finding my sense of humor again. Hope that
Well,
answers your question.
thanks for that. That, wow. And thanks for the question there, Kelly. Great question. And we'll go to Dan H now.
Wow, thank you so much, Nancy, for speaking today and being our main share. I'm definitely going to have to go back and listen to this recording because I missed a little bit of it in the middle there. We had over 50 some odd people here today listening to you, which is an amazing thing. And your share will live on in our vault forever for so many others to get recovery as well. I want to also thank Kristen M for, recommending you. And I know we went through a couple of times trying to connect, but it's all in God's time. And I really believe that. And I'm so grateful that you're here right now with us. I wanted to let you know there's an anonymous question in the chat, and I'm going to read it to you. And makes sense, I think, here. It says, is there a place for planning in your recovery? What does it look like? And what do you expect of yourself when you plan?
When I plan,
That's what it says.
so I don't expect anything except not to gamble and to remember that I'm human and I'm not perfect. Period. That's the only thing I expect from myself. And yes, there is a place for planning. That's a great question because I learned in the past year that there's a big difference between planning and projecting and going down the rabbit hole and trying to run the one act show and writing a script for everybody and then not giving them their lines. So it's the one day at a time and the slow and slower. It really is. I'm going to plan to do my readings in the morning, do my praying, and get up and get dressed. If I get through that, then I'm going to make a plan for the next 2 hours, and the next 2 hours, and the next 2 hours. I center all of my planning around what I've got going on in GA. I know I've got to do my reading, and I know I want to make my meeting, the Florida Daily meeting. I'm back to hosting about 5 or 6 times a month. So I work on that, and I also don't like the word try. I also work on putting in writing each day, but that's because I love to write. And it's important to me because it's like I believe that it's one of the reasons that I don't get angry anymore and that I don't hold any resentments and that I can just let stuff go. I don't know why I don't know why I'm so wishy-washy about courage, but hopefully my higher power will let me know when it's time. If one of my kids was getting married or something, of course you've got to plan for something like that, but I don't plan too much at all. I hope that answered the question.
I think you did it answer for me, so thank you, Nancy. Appreciate it.
And now we'll go to George C.
Nancy, thank you very much for your share. Unfortunately, I came in at the end, but I heard enough. Now I'm gonna listen to the tape next week. My question is, I can't tell you how many times I want to give a therapy and say something out of, coming from my heart, but I break and I just talk about something to make it sound like I'm a recovering member. Can you make any comment on that, please? If not, I understand.
I sure can. There are occasionally times I tell you a couple of things. There are times today when my sponsor or mentor will be in the same meeting as me, and I'll share, and I'll immediately send a chat and say, "Did I just sound like an idiot or a dork?" Because even having 4+ years in, it's sometimes it's so convoluted or confusing in my head because it's still my feelings that I haven't worked out. It's like going up in the attic and finding that old filing cabinet that you thought you got rid of 20 years ago. And oh, there it is rusting in the corner and can't get the drawer open. And there's that old thought or that old thing. And it's like, and there was a short amount of time also that I was having some trust issues, and I clammed up in the meetings, and I realized I was only hurting myself. I still cry sometimes in some shares. The thing for me is that if I'm not real with you, George, how are you going to be real with me? And if I, honesty, open-minded, and willingness, if I am not willing to work with diligent effort, then I don't have any business hosting a meeting. I don't have any business sending literature out to anybody. I don't have any business calling Christian or Bill. I don't have any business doing that. I just don't. I don't have any business showing you guys this. I don't. That's why I can be honest about like how I'm so wishy-washy with my courage. You know, it's like, I know there's people in this program that love my family. They've met my family and they love them. But that doesn't mean that they wouldn't understand if I had to separate from them for a little while. Because they've got a program. The people that know my family, they've got a program too, and they get it. So, did that answer your question? It's okay to
And
cry, right?
it answers my question. And just one more. Is it okay to cry? I mean, seriously, I don't like to cry.
Absolutely.
That's it.
It
Thank you.
is absolutely the Arnie W. I don't know if you know him. I have a nickname for him, and it's probably not okay to say it in this meeting, so I won't. I had to make my very first amends to him because I called him an MF, and that guy has like 58 years or something. Is it 58 years, Bill, that he has in GA?
57.
57. I called him an MF my first week in GA. That guy told me crying cleanses the soul, and he's right. Do you know the story of the Velveteen Rabbit?
No, I do not.
Give it to Dan H or at give your address to Dan H or Adam, and I'll send the book to you, and that'll get you to cry. It's an
Got me.
excellent, excellent book.
Just thank you
It, and
very
it's a children's book, and it's all about love, and that it's okay to love something, and it's okay to cry about it too. It's a really good book.
Thank you in capital letters, and thank you for the extra time, Dan.
And we'll go to Karen C. I want that book now as well.
Hello, my name is Karen, and my last bet date was 3/1/2025. I would say, like to say to the speaker, you have been through a lot of trauma. And I have found that in my journey in this life, that the more that I go through that is heartbreaking, traumatic, extremely difficult situations with family, spouse, health. And you come out on the other side of that. And you don't drink, you don't drug, you don't go back out to gamble. When we face that, we become so much stronger. And I am so happy to have heard your story. That was just a little snippet of it. So I'm not sure what the rest of your story would be like, but just from the little bit that I heard, it was quite intense. And I would just like to say again, thank you so much for sharing that for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. I appreciate your kind words. I will say that I believe today that my story is no more intense than anybody else's. It just occurs to me today that I don't have to say everything that comes into my head. You know, we all have, each of us has our life that has happened to us. And we just hear about it because of this beautiful program that's brought us together. I truly believe that. And yeah, that was just a snippet of it, but I had to give up the hope for a better past, and gratefully I've done that. So I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the question, and we'll go to Indy P next.
Hi there, Nancy. I missed some of your shares, so I'm gonna have to go back and listen to this. So I'm not sure if you covered this, but I'm in DP. I'm an advocate from well, it doesn't matter, but yeah, I'm really grateful I heard you share anyways. It's really good. But no, my question is, sorry, I'm a little nervous because it's being recorded. Someone said early in acts of service, he did a lot of, or early in recovery, sorry, he did lots of acts of service. What were they, and what were they like? What were you doing early in your recovery for GA?
That's a great question. So, one of the things I did and still do occasionally, but I did it for about the first 4 years, except for when I was in a coma. I'm sorry, I laugh at myself a lot. I bought literature from the ISO store and put together full packets of it, entire packets. The day at a time book, everything towards 90 days, beyond 90 days, a welcome keychain, all the literature, what you look for in a sponsor, the blue handbook, the pressure relief booklet and worksheet, and the info to who to call. I'd put a notebook in there, a pen, I'd write a personal note. And anybody that was a newcomer and wanted literature, if they were willing to give me their postal address, I would send it to them. No money required. Because when I came into GA, somebody did that for me, and I was broke. Broke, 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 broke. And I Will didn't give me any money. I had to, and I had a lot of debt to pay back. So I probably in 4 years have sent out about 380 packets of literature, besides supplying literature to the three conferences we've had here in KC. I sat on a, I got buffaloed into sitting on a Serenity Prayer panel by Bill V. He said, "Oh, it's nothing, Nancy. You'll be asked a question." Do you remember that, Bill? I think it's in the audio files. It was a big question and answer thing. I did a radio interview with, have you ever heard the, have you ever listened to Hello, My Name is Craig, the sports guy that went to jail, who does that? He had to, he did that for, so I did his radio show. I host and co-host, and there was a point where the Florida Daily, I hosted it every night for 6 months, when the two gents that started it just got so burnt out, and I and the other gentleman that was doing it had to go out of the country, and I stepped in and did that. Picked up the phone every time it rang. Talked about starting a live meeting in Kansas because of I went to a live meeting and I was the only person that showed up. And Will put his foot down on that one because I'd only been out of the hospital for about 8 months. So still working on it. Still working on that one. Wrote a book. It's got 469 prayers in it. I kind of like it.
Oh,
Hope that answered your question.
it really does. Thank you. And that that's 469 prayers. That sounds awesome. I may check that out.
I
That
love
sounds really
GA.
good.
It saved my life, and it has definitely given me a better way to live.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for that question, Indy. We'll jump to Smokey again.
Yeah, I got forgot the question. Where was you when I had the radio show? I interviewed people from New Orleans and different parts of the country.
What year
But
was it?
Georgia, though, A good question. Okay, probably I know before you came in, and about 2017, probably 2017.
Yeah, I wasn't here yet.
Yeah. Okay, the question I have, honey, and I don't see Margaret there. I see it, my other amigo over there, Kelly, in the class. Okay, before you came in a program, and this is what I've been implicating, I've been doing a lot of research. Did you ever think you knew the definition of being compulsive? And I got a second question. Answer that first.
So, no, I didn't even know I was a compulsive gambler. So, my family is riddled with addicts, alcoholics, drug addicts. Actually, I thought I would grow up to be an alcoholic. And I'm shocked that I don't drink and I don't drug. And I'm shocked that at 59 years old, 58 years old, I came into GA, but I'm glad I did. I mean, I was only in heavy action for 5, 6 years. I say only, and that's the inappropriate thing to say, because one day is too long. But yeah.
Before you got into heavy gambling, did you know the definition? That's what I'm trying to
No.
ask
No.
of compulsive.
No.
And see, that's what takes you back, I believe, in my opinion. In my opinion. And his second question is, how did Will come back?
Well, Will came back because because he came home to have dinner and I was on the floor unconscious. And they said, I don't know, I was in a coma. They said that he did not leave my side. We've been together 25 years and raised a whole bunch of kids together. And he's a recovering alcoholic, so he understands 12-step programs. And we've been through a lot together anyway, so I guess today he's decided he loves me, but he, this is why it's difficult. Will calls me every night between 6 and 6:15, Monday through Friday. I shouldn't say every night, Monday through Friday, because the Florida Daily Central, it starts at 7 p.m. Central.
Right.
He'll call me 37 times because maybe I'm sleeping if I was sick.
I know.
And so I answer the phone and I
Yeah.
go, hello. And he'll say, oh, I thought maybe you wanted to go to your meeting. Dude. Yeah, I'm good. He just, it's hard for him. And I can respect that. He came back because he wanted to. I can't change him, Smokey. I wouldn't ask him to change. I don't want him to change. But what I've learned is that I have to do my recovery for myself. And I have to be healthy for myself. And I've tried to explain to him that calling me, and I'm not exaggerating, calling me 19 times or 37 times isn't helpful, but he just doesn't understand that. So he has to be himself too. And Will is one of the most genuine, authentic, generous, kindest people anyone would ever meet in their lives. He just, but I'm the person that is his partner, so it's always different, right? I mean, I could meet anybody's partner and they'd be different towards me than they are towards their spouse. So I don't begrudge him that.
Yeah, me and George been buddies for almost 41 years. He's fired me sometimes, but I so love him. 41 years.
That's pretty good.
Hey, what?
Sorry, Smokey, I muted you. Are you done?
What does Margaret mean to you today, Nancy?
So, we're friends. Margaret lives in Florida now. Did you know that?
I know she found somebody, but
We're
I
friends.
didn't know that. I didn't know
Yeah.
that. I didn't know that. Okay.
Margaret needed to get out of where she was at, and so I helped her do that.
Oh, very nice. Okay. Yeah, thank you. And hey, you guys.
There, thanks for those questions, Smokey. We've got a few hands up at the moment, so we'll go to
Again? Okay.
Henry now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Henry B., compulsive gambler. I haven't placed a bet since April 27, 2009. Thank you, Nancy, for being here. I really, I'm enjoying every minute of the shares. I got a text from my great friend Don A. from San Diego at 12:56, a few minutes before the meeting starts. Next thing I do is I call my friend Jim P., who is celebrating his 29th year, who happens to be in my very first meeting. I've known him, and he has been very instrumental in my recovery. Said, you know, since it's your anniversary, why not join a speaker meeting, LA International? And I had no clue who the speaker was, but I'm grateful to Don, who happens to be the founder of the GA Zoom meeting in San Diego, which was one of the first one, I think, was formed, and a week or 10 days later, LA International had started. So before I go any further, I want to plug in San Diego International meeting. We have it every day at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, except Tuesdays. And Nancy, you know, from time to time, we also have a speaker meeting, and Don is in charge of that. I hope, because we would love to hear more from you. There are a lot of people who would love to hear and learn a lot of things you have shared this evening, this afternoon. And you mentioned something about a book that you're going to give the info to Dan. Dan, if you're able to put it in the chat, the name of that book, that would be greatly appreciated. Really, you know, the very first speaker meeting, Nancy, I went to in the GA was a gentleman we lost last August of last year, who would have been celebrating 57 years, who happened to be the key pillar of the San Diego GA as well as GA overall throughout the world. One of the greatest men I have ever met, as well as his wife, who him and her for decades and decades, you know, she was in a Gamanon, served the community, the fellowship, and anyway, he was the first speaker, and of course, a very great speaker. And I must tell you, all the speakers over the years I have heard, you impress me so much. And that's why I would love to hear more from you. At least you can come to our meeting once in a while at your convenience. But again, thank you very much for sharing your story and teaching us a lot of things today that I did not know. And we appreciate your valuable lessons. And I look forward to seeing you here more often. It's good to see you all, Smokey, Dan, every one of you. I know quite a few people here. And I look forward to seeing you here soon again. Thank you. Adam, thank you for hosting.
Thank you
Thank you so
very
much
much for
for your time.
speaking there, Henry. And Just like Henry, I also do a speaker meeting as well in the
Oh.
UK. So we'll have Nancy on that one as well.
Please let us know
And
where.
I think the next question, Jim T.
Here we go.
Hello.
Sorry. Got it. Nancy, where in New Jersey are you?
I'm in Kansas.
You're in
I'm
Kansas.
in like central Kansas.
Were you ever in the East Coast?
Yes, for about 11 and a half months,
Oh, okay.
I was in Bucks County,
All
Chalfont,
right.
Pennsylvania.
I thought you were Jersey. And where the leader, I forget your first name, I'm sorry. Where in England are you?
I'm in Wellingborough in the UK. It's kind of like in the center of the country.
I spent a lot of time in Kent. My dad was from England and I used to visit quite often. So,
Yeah, I'm quite close to Kent,
yeah.
although everything's pretty close here compared to the
Yeah,
USA.
that's true. That's true. That's right. But the tr yeah, I he was born and raised in Maidstone, so. Okay, that's all. I was trying to get the logistics here. Nancy, I too am a Lanceman and grew up in New York City, born in Brooklyn. Some say I was raised in Brooklyn. I say I was lowered and ended up moving to San Diego about 30 years ago. Thanks for the meeting, everyone. I really, really appreciated it. Nancy, your story and your hard work is so amazing. I feel like such a slouch. I have a lot of years, but I'm a total slouch compared to what you've done. And I applaud you.
Thank you. I'll tell you what, I'm gonna, if it wasn't for Bill B, I wouldn't have been able to do the hard work I've done. I'm telling you, he and him and my sponsor, I don't even know if she's here, Kelly M. She wasn't my first sponsor, which that person almost made me leave the program. But between the two of them, they Yeah, talk about direct and to the point. They helped me put my big girl pants on, and it's made all the difference in my life. It really has.
Thank you. And we'll go to Don A. San Diego now.
Hey, thank you so much, Donna. No gambling to report. Nancy, great story. I do have a question for you, but first I got to acknowledge a couple of my San Diego peeps. I don't really, not the founder of the San Diego International meetings that we have every night at 7, but that was co-founded with another member, Bob C, who called me up the day the pandemic hit, and he said he would get something called Zoom. I never heard of that. And I said, okay, I'll put a format together. And Thursday, we started a meeting, whatever date that was. And we've been going solid. After the pandemic cleared, Bob C has moved on to in-person meetings. But we've been able to find people to lead all our meetings. We do like 10 meetings throughout the week. And Henry is our official promoter for the San Diego International meetings. So he doesn't, he knows that, but he doesn't like any kind of titles like that. And the other one is Jim T. So good to see him here. He used to be your pressure relief person, but he comes on our Zoom every once in a while when we have any financial kind of questions. And so shout out to Jim. I appreciate Jim, and Jim does a lot. I think he leads a hybrid meeting or a Zoom meeting once a week. Anyway, my question for you, Nancy, is I take it that you've worked through the steps. Can you share a little bit how you've applied the steps in your life, and what has the steps done for you and your serenity?
Sure thing. Great question. I have worked through the steps. I've actually worked through them 3 times. One of them was in a workshop that was a fascinating, brilliant experience because it started with 112 people, I think, the one that I took, and we ended up with I think 18 or 15 people. So many people dropped out. The first time I tried it was when I got sick, so I had to drop out too. So how have I applied it to my life? Well, first of all, writing on the 20 questions, instrumental. And I've written on them 3 times now. But the first time, is the one that has remained most important to me, because there's been a few times where I have really needed to talk to somebody, and people have been at work or at the doctor or whatever, and haven't been available or haven't been able to pick up the phone, even though I've left a voicemail. And I realized very early on that all I had to do was go to that notebook that I answered the 20 questions in and flip it open to any one of those answers I wrote. And that is good enough reason of why I don't want to go gamble again, period. Because I don't ever want to be that person again. The other thing is with writing on them, I was a person that was so full of rage. I had gotten to the point when I was gambling 20, 22 hours a day. I was carrying a sledgehammer around with me, and I used it multiple times, never on people or animals. I did use it on things and places, and I was not kind. I remember one time beating up the washing machine and then calling Will and telling him the washing machine broke. Oh, darn. And then leaving him to come home and find out that I had just beat the crap out of it with a sledgehammer. And he called me and he said, "What's your problem?" I said, "Nothing. The washing machine's broke, dude. Can't do laundry." I mean, I was just horrific. Such freedom. It's like writing unchains my soul. And how do I apply it in my regular life? I walk into any establishment today and I can be kind to the people that work there and other customers, no matter what kind of mood they're in, period. Because what they have going on that's icky or grumpy or yucky in their lives is not going to affect me because I'm living in the present and I have to be and want to be accountable and responsible for my actions and reactions. Somebody told me not too long ago, don't be involved. You know, it really, things are really none of my business. And it really is none of my business what other people think about me, not even people in my own family. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to stop by the side of the road and pick up that puppy or that last kid. I'm going to pick up litter. I'm going to give somebody my last buck because they need it more than I do. And my higher power is going to take care of me. And it's going to be good. And good is good enough. And that's just the way it is.
How beautiful is that? Thank you so much, Nancy.